Chapter 12. Ultimately, Prem cannot be described. Whenever we hear Harigata, we should listen with our hearts and be sure to keep it in our hearts. Otherwise, the ear will hear, but the ear will not tell the heart, and it shouldn't be like that. What is told to our ears should arrive in our hearts, and we should try to bring that into practice. Then we will get the result of hearing. If we are not able to hear Harikatha properly, and not able to keep it in our hearts, then the spiritual greed which should arise from hearing such talks will not arise within us in this or any other birth. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said that this world is deficient. This body is also deficient. Everything here is deficient. But whatever we are undergoing in this world now, and whatever deficiencies there are, our aim is not to make them go away. We should not try for that in life. They will remain now, and they will remain for millions of years. What is the true purpose of human life? That should be ascertained in this lifetime. What is the aim of life? What should we do? This human birth is very valuable, because with it we can meet Bhagavan. We should definitely try for this in this very lifetime, and our goal should be ascertained before we are 40 years of age. Generally, we see that after the age of 40, one's desire and ability to take a new course in life is diminished. We may try to apply our minds to something new, and then after some time, our determination may fade and not return. Although it is certainly possible to change direction in life after the age of 40, and many have done it, the risk is there that one will become set in their ways. So whatever situation you are in now, as youths, at a tender age, you should put into practice the ideals which will lead to the goal of human life. Then the final result may come within a relatively short time or a very long time. That is a separate consideration. But your present age is very valuable. Therefore, certainly, before the age of 40, a person should make the decision to fulfill the aim of human life. Because after that, the age of 50 comes, and then there is an even greater chance that it will be too late. At that time, we may hear everything, but still never muster the firm determination to do what should be done. In the name Gop Kumara, what is the meaning of Kumar? He is a very tender age, and he met his guru at that age. And even after millions of years, when he finally received such mercy that he met Bhagavan, he still remained as a Kumar. From the day of meeting his guru, he slowly came to understand Siddhanta and became determined. He never abandoned the chanting of his Gopal mantra. Wherever he went, he kept the same determination, and he never changed his aim. We should follow that example. And if our aim remains correct, then Krishna in the form of Gurudev, in the form of a Vaishnava, in the form of the Shiksha Guru, and in other forms also, will give us help in the midst of our progress, and send others to help us as well. Who sent Narad to Gop Kumar? He met Narad in Vaikuntha, and Bhagavan as the Antaryami helps devotees in this way, so that they can attain the goal of life. One who instructs us on how to attain Bhagavan is Guru. For this purpose, Narad is wandering throughout the world, and it is through such a devotee that Bhagavan can help us. Bhagavan is like a father and Jagat Guru. The Diksha Guru is also Jagat Guru, and like a father, but a father will not instruct his daughter on how to serve her husband. he will not tell her how she is to behave when alone with her husband. Her mother will also not say. Who will say? Her close friend will be able to tell her. The example is also there that Krishna Chandra is the beloved son of Nanda Baba, and Nanda Baba's younger brother is Sunanda. Though living with both of them, Krishna is more affectionate with Sunanda. In the scriptures, it has been described that he associates more with Sunanda. Sunanda is somewhat older than Krishna, but he is Nanda's youngest brother. Therefore, he is Krishna's dear friend, and like his father also. He can fight and quarrel with Krishna. But when Krishna wants his father to agree to something, he approaches Sunanda, and Sunanda makes Nanda Baba agree to it. He is very intimate with Krishna. Similarly, like a father, Bhagavan himself will give us less instruction, but he will give it. In another form, he will give it in great detail by sending someone who is dear to him, and that person will tell us everything. In the form of Shiksha Guru, Bhagavan will tell one everything. Narad, as the Shiksha Guru of Gop Kumar, will tell him things that Jayanta, Gopal Kumar's Diksha Guru, would not tell him. Just as the greatness of the Diksha Guru has been described, in the same way, the glories of the Shiksha Guru have also been described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures. There is some separation, Vipralamba Bhav, in devotees' love. It is such a peculiar sentiment that only premi or loving devotees can know it. Others cannot understand it, and upon seeing it, they even become frightened. In Puri, Mahaprabhu jumped into the ocean, thinking that it was the Yamuna. A fisherman, taking his net, climbed into his boat and went out into the ocean. Mahaprabhu's body appeared as if he had not eaten for a long time, and in this weak and fragile condition, he entered into the fisherman's net. When the fisherman was drawing in his net, he felt the heavy weight and joyfully thought, "Today I have caught a big fish." Bringing the net into the boat, he returned to the shore. There, when he looked closer, he became frightened and thought, "What is this? A corpse has come into my net." Having touched Mahaprabhu's body, the fisherman felt that a ghost had possessed him. Becoming overwhelmed with fear, he left his net and everything there and ran away. Nearby, Swarup Damodar, Rai Ramananda, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, and all the devotees were searching for Mahaprabhu. Then they saw a madman on the shore of the ocean who was laughing, crying, and calling out, "Hari, Hari!" Swarup Damodar said to him, "What happened?" The fisherman replied, "A ghost has possessed me." Recognizing the man's symptoms, Swarup Damodar said, "I know how to rid you of this ghost. I know the mantra." He slapped the fisherman a few times, recited a mantra, and then the fisherman came to his senses a bit. Then he said, "My friend, can you show us where you have seen this ghost?" The fisherman replied, "From a distance I will show you, but I will not go near there." Swarup Damodar, "All right." Going to the place from a distance, the fisherman showed them. There in the net was Mahaprabhu, his body rolled into a ball in a posture of a child before birth. His joints were all dislocated, and his whole body was slack and elongated. Then Swarup Damodar told the fisherman, "Okay, you can go now, and this ghost will no longer disturb you." Then the devotees took Mahaprabhu out of the net, laid him on the shore, and cleaned off his body. Surrounding him, they started performing kirtan, and after a little while, Mahaprabhu came to his senses. Seeing Mahaprabhu's condition, that fisherman became terrified. Like this, if any ordinary man sees such an advanced state of bhakti, will he desire bhakti? But loving devotees will understand. They will think, when in my meditation will I also be able to have such a darshan of Krishna as Mahaprabhu was experiencing? When will I receive such an opportunity? A devotee has to go through this intense separation to reach Krishna. It is like the unhappiness of this world multiplied millions of times, and a devotee will have to feel that many times. Still, he will not be able to express it in words. Bhagavan himself is not able to express it. Whoever is experiencing it will be unable to express it in words. Nowhere in the scriptures are the symptoms of premi devotees described completely. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the symptoms of the gopis' state of intoxication and mad, senseless talking have only been described in brief. More than that has not been described. It is not possible. But we should understand the unhappiness of Srimati Radhika and the gopis in separation from Krishna to be the ultimate transformation of happiness, the very culmination of happiness. For example, when it is very hot and a few drops of rain begin to fall, it is very pleasant. When the month of Kartik is starting and it begins to cool off, we like that very much. So coolness is welcome. But too much cold is unpleasant, such as when it freezes overnight and ice is produced. But although cold and heat are complete opposites, it is an astonishing thing that when one takes a piece of ice in his hand, it feels as if it's burning. This burning sensation is the ultimate transformation of cold. Similarly, in the realm of bhakti, when Krishna prema becomes intensified and one experiences vipralamba, it seems that at that time he is very unhappy. But that is not actually unhappiness. It is the pinnacle of happiness. No one can describe the symptoms of that condition. What were the sentiments of Srimati Radhika that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt when he was locked in the Gambira and was rubbing his face against the wall? The sentiments that were experienced by Radhika, the bhava experienced by Mahaprabhu, has all this been described? No. Therefore, this is called Sva Samvedya Dasya. It can only be understood by directly experiencing it oneself. It is not possible for anyone to describe it. We cannot tell anyone about what divine blissfulness, what ananda has come within us as a result of meeting Krishna. Therefore, Narad tells Gop Kumar, "My dear friend, this desire to meet Krishna, which has arisen inside you by the influence of your mantra, this is Sva Samvedya Dash. With words, I cannot make you understand completely this matter that has disturbed you, but I will try to describe it a little. The nature of prema is like that. That desire for the prema of your internal swarup can never be fulfilled here. That swarup is in Sakya Bhav, and beyond that, pure Vishramba or intimate Sakya Bhav. This Vishramba Sakya Bhav cannot be found in any place from Siddhaloka to Sadashivaloka to Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Mathura or Dwarka. It is only found in Braj." Then Narad took a look around. Lakshmi Devi was nowhere near, and no other eternal associates of Narayan were around. So no one was listening to this conversation. If someone with a particular sentiment hears the words of someone with a higher sentiment, they will say something like, "Oh, he's blaspheming our Lord." Therefore, not everyone should hear such talks. That is why Narad looked around to make sure that no servant of Lakshmi, no friend of Lakshmi, Garuda or anyone else was nearby. Then, after looking, he began speaking again. "Inside you, there is so much bhakti. You can easily obtain heavenly enjoyment, and you can also obtain liberation easily. You can even have the prema of Vaikuntha easily. But the love for Sri Radha and Krishna, which you are seeking, is so difficult to obtain, so rare. You can easily attain residence in the heavenly planets, liberation, or even Vaikuntha by performing the appropriate sacrifice. By following the path of jnana, you can easily achieve liberation. And by way of karma yoga, you can easily go to heaven. But the bhakti that you desire cannot be easily obtained, even by millions of efforts. You will never obtain it by your own endeavor. You will have to receive it. If you unconditionally surrender to Sri Radha and Krishna and beg them for mercy, then it may be possible. Our effort is to pray for it. Our only prayer is that we can somehow offer them our very soul. By trying to obtain this prema by our own effort, it is not possible. What you desire is very rare. It is obtainable. Not that you can't get it. You can obtain it, but it is very difficult. Kadachit eva kasmaichit tad ekarta spriyatvate tam dadyad bhagavan bhaktim loka bayaya dimate. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.233. If someone desires the prema of Braj, then only if real spiritual greed has somehow or other arisen within them will they be able to obtain it. Without this greed, it will never be possible. When a person really wants something, then by bribery, by thievery, by trickery, by fighting, by any means, they will try to get it. And this greed is the root cause of prema bhakti. Such transcendental greed is possible only when Bhagavan and his premi rasik devotees are merciful to us. Krishna will give the highest treasure only to those who have some special hankering for it, and not to those who don't have this qualification. What shape will this hankering take? I want to serve Krishna just as Subal does, or just as Madhu Mangal, Sridham and others do. Is it possible that there is any special difference between the service of Sridham and the service of Subal? A very big difference is possible. Sridham has great love for Krishna, as much as Subal, or even more. But there is one hidden consideration here. Sridham is the brother of Srimati Radhika. Therefore Krishna is not always able to have free dealings with Sridham, because through him Radhika may come to know of something that Krishna doesn't want her to know about. But with Subal, Krishna can speak openly and freely and completely reveal his heart. Therefore, there is no distance between Krishna and Subal. In this way, there are differences between Sakas, and Gop Kumar's hankering is like that of Subal. He desires to serve Krishna just as Subal does, remaining near to him and taking the cows out to graze. Suppose Krishna is distributing Chintamani. Who is he distributing it to? To those who are qualified to receive it. And if someone else comes who is not qualified to receive Chintamani, what will Krishna give to him? He will give him some other stone, which may shine more than Chintamani, but which is not Chintamani. He will give the greatest thing only to those who have some special greed for it. And for this reason, he sent Narad to Gop Kumar, saying, "Increase his greed." But merely being greedy for a short time will not do. This greed is like a creeper. You must water it and protect it, and then it can grow all the way up to Vrindavan. How does Krishna increase someone's greed? Once Narad was chanting his mantra. After chanting more and more, he attained Swarup Siddhi. A very beautiful form with four arms appeared before him, and then at once disappeared. Now, how much had his greed increased? Narad started lamenting and crying until a voice from the sky said to him, While residing within a material body, you will not be able to have my direct company. For now, you will remain in Swarup Siddhi, and you will not change your form. Then in your next birth, after giving up this form, you will attain Vastu Siddhi and reside with me eternally. Therefore, in sequence, first as Diksha Guru, then as Shiksha Guru, then Bhagavan himself comes as Guru to increase our greed. So far, the greed of Gop Kumar had reached up to Vaikuntha, but now Narad has come to increase his greed further. Increasing more and more, finally Krishna will give him the highest treasure, which is only given to someone who is fully greedy for it. Prema Bhakti becomes mature in a similar way as a mango becomes ripe. There are many kinds of mangoes. Some mangoes are so sweet, fragrant and delicious that upon tasting one of them, you won't want to stop eating it until it's finished. Again and again, you will keep putting the mango to your mouth. And as long as there is a little juice remaining in it, you will not discard it. So where is prema found in its full maturity? In the company of the Brijabasis. In the company of the Nitya Siddha associates of Krishna, it will be fully mature, and nowhere else. So at that time in Vaikuntha, Gop Kumar's prema had not yet fully matured. It was still a little unripe. Narad is saying that there is no one capable of describing the tattva of fully matured prema. Why? Because even Srimati Radhika is not capable of it. In fact, if there is any person who is the most incapable of describing it, it is Radhika herself, because she herself is fully immersed in that rasa. She will not be able to describe what she is experiencing, but those who remain aloof will be able to describe a little of it. When a man is entering into rasa, what will he himself speak about it? He will not say anything. In any description of the state of Mahaprabhu's prema, we don't find in any place that he himself described it. In some places, Swarup Damodar has described it in poetry. Rupa Goswami described a little something of it. And by hearing from Rupa and Raghunath, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami described something of it, but he was unable to describe it completely. Narad is saying, in describing this prema, what will I say? I am capable of saying something about the symptoms of it, but most people will misunderstand and take another meaning. I may say, oh, Radhika is dying in separation and crying in pain. The poor girl has become senseless. For a long time, Radhika remains senseless. The tears from her eyes made her clothing wet, and she rubbed the dust of Krishna's feet on her shawl and the rest of her clothes. With the tears related to Krishna and the dust related to Krishna combined, Radhika's clothes became unclean, but she refused to change them. She was firmly determined that she would wear no other clothes except those that were saturated with her tears for Krishna and his foot dust. But upon hearing this, most people will say, oh, such suffering. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan to deliver a message from Krishna and first saw the condition of the Brajabasis, he said, I have heard that their love for Krishna is very deep, but for a long time they are in so much agony. Mother Yashoda is dying, but will Radhika, Nanda Baba, or Mother Yashoda ever leave Vrindavan? Will any gopi ever leave? Will even any of the young servants of the gopis leave? No. They are experiencing a kind of ecstasy that even Uddhava could not fully understand. Therefore, even the servants who sweep Radhika's home are considered to be on a higher level than Uddhava. Uddhava cannot attain that high kind of sentiment. The gopis are all crying and their servants are trying to console them. But still, none of them will ever leave there. In the end, Uddhava left Vrindavan unable to fully comprehend that high sentiment. The symptoms of prema in its mature state are not a thing that can be spoken of. So how can it be written about in the scriptures? And if they were written, then what would be the result? In the Bhagavatam, only a little has been described about the meeting of Sri Radha and Krishna. And many people say that there is some detestable, sinful activity described in the Bhagavatam. Many people have said this. How will all of those people understand the Bhagavatam? Only a little has been told, and they say that it is filthy. So if even more of it were described, then what would happen? Yet if the Bhagavatam were not there, the devotees would not be able to maintain their lives, because the Bhagavatam is most dear to them. If you give a piece of ginger to a monkey, what will he do? He will look at it, and then merely discard it. Monkeys do not know that ginger is valuable for digestion and health. So these high sentiments from the Bhagavatam should not be described to ignorant people. They are not spoken even to Rukmini or Satyabhama, so what to speak of others? But there is one more point here. Those who are Rasik, who are Swasamvedya Dash, who have experienced prema themselves, they will not describe it, but they will recognize it when they see it. Besides Swarup Damodar, no one else could understand the bhav of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood it, but never spoke of it. There is a verse that Mahaprabhu was calling out with a faltering voice before Jagannath's cart. Ya kumara hara sa eva hi varasta eva chaitra shapas te kon milita maliti surabaya proda kadambanaliya sa chaivamsi tatapi tatra surata vyapara lila vidu reva radasi vedasi taru tale cheta samutkantate. Padyavali 3.8.2. That same lover who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra, and the same breezes from the Kadamba forest are blowing the same fragrance from the Malati flowers. I am also the same lover as before, but my heart is not satisfied here. I desire to return with him to the bank of the river Reva, under the Vetasi tree. When Mahaprabhu spoke that verse, only Swarup Damodar understood. But it then became apparent that Rupa Goswami also understood. Perceiving the sentiment within Mahaprabhu's heart, Rupa Goswami composed a parallel verse. He wrote it on a palm leaf and placed it in the thatched roof of his hut before going to bathe. Priyaha soyam krishnaha sahachari karu chetra militas tataham sa radha tad idam ubayo sangam sukayam tatapya anta kelan madura murali panchami juse mano me kalindi pulina vipinaya spriyati. Padyavali 3.8.3. My dear friend, I have now again met my lover Sri Krishna here at Kurukshetra. I am the same Radha, and we are experiencing the happiness of meeting. Still, I desire for us to return to the bank of the Yamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there, where I can hear him playing the sweet melody of the fifth note on the flute. Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar thought that only they could understand this sentiment. But upon seeing this poem of Rupa Goswami, they could see that Rupa Goswami also understood. This is Swasamvedya Dasha. Therefore, Narad told Gop Kumar, "You are an eternal resident of Braj, not of this Vaikuntha. Now the mango is ripening. A little fragrance is coming from it. In a few days the mango will be fully mature, and its taster will see that it has ripened. Its fragrance has come, and now juice will come out of it. So taking it, he will relish it. Such a day is coming. Now the time is very near when you will go to Bruj, and all your desires will be fulfilled. Thus ends chapter 12 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.